We have been hearing in the last little while about a really strong job market in Alberta. As far as if you're looking for a job, you should be able to find one. There's a shortage of people to work. I guess it's in some areas and some jobs are going to feel this harder and more than others. There are some experts who believe that an increase in immigration might ease some of the pressure in our labor market. But, I mean, there are companies that are literally starving for workers, and so new immigrants isn't going to completely cover that. Or will it? Or is it a nuanced thing? Let's deal with it from the point of view of immigration and how that even works. Do you really target individuals with certain skill sets to fill certain jobs? It's not like they're coming in as indentured servants where you have to go and take over that job or you can't come. Or does it work like that? Let's find out from Sergio Caras, who's the principal at Caras Immigration Law, joining us this morning. Good day. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be discussing this very important topic.
Yeah, it is. And why is it important? Like, what do you think is the key to this? You heard my preamble as we were going into talking about labor market and immigration and how it. What do you think is the key issue?
Well, we have to dial back a little bit to the pre-pandemic levels in which we had a labor market that was more or less in balance. But the issue has always been matching the skills to the needs of the employers in the labor market. Mm-hmm. That's where a real problem, that's where the rubber meets the road, so to say. And what is happening is that immigration policy is failing in providing employers with the right skill set, because immigration policy is driven from the top down, and the federal government and to some extent the provinces determine the type of immigrants that they want through policy, through regulation, through legislation. But employers are very often looking for a very different skill set. You mentioned in your introductory comments the economy and the labor market in Alberta. Well, Alberta is very specific because Alberta has a very large oil industry, an allied industry like chemical industry. So the skill set that is required in Alberta is very different from the skill set that is required in Ontario, where I am located. Mm-hmm. So we also need to take into consideration the fact that, unfortunately, a lot of the industries are boom and bust. There are good times and bad times, and nobody knows better than you guys in Alberta what it is to fall on hard times when there are massive layoffs. And on the other hand, when you have a very, very tight labor market, like a few years ago, where nobody can find housing because everybody wants to be in Fort McMurray, right? Mm-hmm. So it is a very difficult balancing act, and the federal government is failing because the federal government is succumbing to the pressures of interest groups that are driving immigration, through politics, basically, and not the needs of the labor market.
So that has to be your determination as to what your immigration policy should be. What is the reason for immigration? What is the goal of immigration? And is it purely economically driven? Like you said, if you have a need for a certain type of worker right now, it doesn't mean you're going to need that type of worker in 3 years down the road. So, is that also a dangerous way to go, isn't it? Is that how public policy should be determined?
Well, public policy should be multifaceted, and there should always be a small component of people who are, like the Joker in the cards that can play any kind of role. Mm.
Like a wild card, somebody you can fill in anywhere.
A wild card, exactly. But the main driving force should be employment, because an immigrant that is coming into the country and has a job is a happy immigrant. An immigrant who cannot find a job because it doesn't have the skill set or doesn't have the language is not a happy immigrant. And, it becomes depressed. There's a whole bunch of allied problems that develop. So the key is really to let the market determine what kind of immigrants we need. And once they are in Canada and they have a few years under their belt, they tend to adapt a lot faster. However, if we insist in spending money and resources on categories of immigrants that are not in the labor force and not going to be in the labor force, then we're wasting our time and resources. And the economy is going to suffer as a result.
Is there a different approach or a different pronged approach? Perhaps you bring in temporary workers in order to cover off those jobs that may, in fact, be in high demand temporarily. Do you try to improve on the skill sets that some immigrants already have but can't use here? So is that where all these different layered impacts might help? It's not one solution. There's a multiple number of solutions.
Correct. There are a number of solutions that can be implemented. One of the problems that we have right now is that the federal government is concentrating heavily on immigrants that we have in the country as international students or in certain types of temporary jobs. And we are granting them permanent residence at a record level, while we have a lot of very good candidates overseas that have much better skill sets and are not being selected to come to Canada. This is a very serious problem because the Federal Skilled Worker Program, that's the one that selects immigrants from overseas, has suffered tremendously during the pandemic and beyond because the federal government is playing politics and it's giving residency to a lot of international students who are taking what I call easy courses in order just to graduate, get a work permit, and obtain residency, and then file sponsorship applications for whomever they want to bring from overseas, typically spouses, but. The problem is that is damaging our ability to find qualified workers, and it's also diverting processing resources towards categories that are not adapting to the economy. And that's when you have, all the stories of people who come into Canada, they graduate in certain, colleges, et cetera, non-universities typically, and they're complaining because they're driving Uber. Right? Or they're working for DoorDash or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. They can come here. But
this is a problem. The federal government needs to let the market forces decide what kind of workers are necessary for the economy. Yeah. And they need to dial back on the categories that are non-economic categories. Obviously, we have to have a humanitarian component. We have to have perhaps a refugee component, but they should be much smaller than they are right now, because those are the categories that are not contributing to the economy because the skill set is not there, the language skills are not there. And, one of the things that has been found to be one of the biggest barriers towards adapting to Canadian society is the lack of language skills. And if you take all the statistics, you will see that over the last 40 years, since the 80s, every wave of immigration that has come in to Canada has done a little bit worse than the previous wave of immigration because the emphasis is on points that are awarded without regard to the type of skills. So, for example, very quickly, if you have somebody who comes to Canada and goes to university and graduates with a degree in computer science or engineering or nursing, they're going to find a job right away. They're very employable. Mm-hmm. However, if you have somebody who comes to Canada and they go to some obscure college somewhere and they take, hospitality management or whatever it is that is an easy course of 2 years just to get a work permit and get permanent residency in the Canadian Experience class, they're not going to be easily employed. Or they're going to be employed in occupations that don't pay very much. So this is a problem. And the government is wasting valuable resources awarding residency to people that do not have the skill set that the employers need. And at the same time, the employers are complaining that they cannot find the qualified people.
Yeah.
Or that there are people who just don't want to take the jobs because they think it's beneath them. I have clients who have factories, for example, in the plastic industry, and they're looking for 30, 40 machine operators, and they can't find them. You know, this is a problem because the skill set that is being brought is not matching the employer needs. Also, there is a very heavy concentration of immigrants in three places, which is Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver. You know, the province of Ontario is still getting 54% of all the immigrants that come to Canada. Alberta is getting some, but not very many.
But hang on. Sergio, you've been going for a while. Let me jump in with another thought here. Do you force people to go to certain areas of the country? Do you say you have to go here and to fill in these jobs? It would end up being their choice at the end of it, wouldn't it?
Well,
otherwise it's called indentured servitude.
Yes, but under the Constitution and the Charter, we have mobility rights in this country. You cannot force people. There are some programs that are that were conditional, but mostly for entrepreneurs. For example, they had to invest a certain amount of money in certain provinces, or certain areas for a couple of years, etc. But those are very small and drop in the bucket. And this is not addressing the labor force. Yep. The key here is to reform the way we select people, and also the federal government announced they're going to increase to 500,000 immigrants a year, which is, frankly speaking, an absurd number because they don't have the capacity to process that so many people. And at the same time, it's just numbers for them. They're just bringing numbers, and you have to go inside the numbers to see what kind of programs they have increased. At the same time,
Sergio, I got it.
Employers are screaming.
Yeah, I think you've made your point very, very well, and I appreciate it. We're just running out of time, so I've got to cut it short. Perhaps we can continue this conversation on another day.
Absolutely. It will be a pleasure.
Great having you on here. Thank you.
All right, great. Okay. Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.